last time on D&D.
Inside the Fireweave Bazaar is where Crate 300 lies.
Why are the gentry going?
Aurelians hired them to go into Kalazart. They're getting word of this shipment as well. As Bellalure slowly slides the twisted trinket of truth into place, you all see conduits of energy flying, and this Iron Defender has been brought to life.
Scrappy it is.
Scrappy boy, hey!
Now I need you to go and find Cali Alrun and the rest of the Grey Dogs in the Fireweave Bazaar.
You think we can bail the Grey Dogs out? We're up to it. He looks back to Graf and Garam.
Can you do that?
Absolutely we can.
Orange Eyes presents a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition campaign. DM'd by Alex LeFerrier. Starring
Andrew Gallagher playing Erd.
Ian Selig playing Garum.
And John Selig playing Graf.
Eberron Chronicles, Oracle of War, Season 2. 10 Xeranthir. Midwinter, the month of the storm, 998 YK. You guys are in Salvation, wrapping up a long night of assembling Scrappy, your new companion, the Iron Defender, joining the rabble. Bellalore has sketched out your task ahead, an 80-mile trip getting into Kalazart. She's also mentioned that staying more than 3 weeks in the gray is where things can start getting haywired from physicality, mentality, you name it.
And how long has Callie been in there reportedly?
A little over 3 weeks now.
She left before you guys got here in Salvation, and it's been roughly 10 days since you guys have been here in Salvation. If it wasn't for the helpful attitude of these two goblins, who knows where your time here in Salvation would have ended up. Of all the people in Salvation, these two little goblins have been the most grateful ones, especially Bellalure, since you guys have found her daughter, Garinda, all those days ago at the depot. Garinda, guys, so very thankful for you. She hands over a potion of clairvoyance.
Range of 1 mile. You create an invisible sensor within range in a location familiar to you, or in an obvious location that is unfamiliar to you. The sensor remains in place for the duration, and it cannot be attacked or interacted with. When you cast the spell, you choose seeing or hearing. You can use the chosen sense through the sensor as if you were in that space. As your action, you can switch between seeing and hearing. A creature that can see the sensor sees a luminous, intangible orb about the size of your fist. And so such a creature would be benefiting from see invisibility or true sight.
It's a weird spell.
Yeah.
Since you guys have been so good at searching and looking for my life, I thought maybe something like this would help your lives.
So like if we get half a mile to the Fireweave Bazaar, we can use clairvoyance and see what's over there next to the Crate 300.
Okay. There you go.
This thing will turn to stone on us, will it? Like you did?
No. I don't think so.
Well, thank you for all your help.
Thank you.
Just hope we can work together again in the future.
You know we will.
If not, at least bring the Grey Dogs back.
We'll do our best.
And stepping back, Bellalore looks over the Iron Defender that has taken its affinity towards Graf. Oh, yes. Yes. This will serve you mighty well in the mists of the Mornland. So do you guys have any plans in mind?
Well, obviously we should stock up on stuff, guys, right?
Right. So our current breakdown is that we each have 2 weeks' rations. We have one healing potion. Erd and I both have 40 arrows, so two quivers of 20 each. And we've got 15 gold between the three of us.
So 2 weeks of rations, and Callie's been in there for three. Do we roll the dice?
And if we're going to get them, they're probably going to rely on us for some food. I think we should stock up on more.
Oh.
Bellalore sketched out roughly what the Grey Dogs are comprised of, and it seems like there's five of them in total, one of them being a Warforged.
There's one less to feed right there. So actually, that's good to know, because the Warforge is going to be likely unaffected by anything going on in the gray. So that's somebody we should keep in mind to talk to and contact when we finally see them.
Of how they're reacting to the Mornland?
Yeah, because the Warforge is likely going to have the levelest head and not going to be affected by the Mornland.
If we travel at a normal pace, we can cover 24 miles a day.
In the gray, right?
No, the gray is a whole different story. It's harder to navigate, and yeah, everything is more difficult.
So if we travel at a slow pace, we can cover 18 miles a day. So it'll be probably at least 15 days in there.
Yeah, Bellalore has definitely warned you guys it's going to take you a little bit of time to get there. If you thought the depot was, you know, 4 days in, Kalazart's probably twice that.
Yeah, probably 8 days there, 7 or 8 days there, 7 or 8 days back, plus maybe a couple days to get our job done.
We should plan for maybe 4 weeks rations, so we got a little bit extra.
So 4 weeks rations each. We need to stock up and get 6 more weeks of supplies then. How much is that going to run us?
Is that what you guys are deciding on doing?
Yeah, we're thinking through it. Yeah, so we're not sure, because we think maybe 2 weeks for us ration-wise, and maybe like 1 week as a buffer, and then another week for them, potentially, if they're friendly. If not, we have some more food for us to eat.
Great.
And I wonder if we can make our buddy Scrappy carry some stuff for us, too.
Put some saddlebags on him, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Tie him up a little bit.
I don't know if that's the right way to welcome Scrappy to the group. You sure you don't want to take the bags, Garum?
I'll take what I can, but I'm not that strong.
Convenient.
The problem is, how much is all this going to cost?
Yeah, so definitely we need to make sure we get supplies to go in. Maybe we can, I don't know if it's worth our while to scout some more information about the Grey Dogs or Kalazart or how to get over there. That might be worth our time.
Well, I think Bellalore basically
spelled it out for us.
All but drew us a map, you know? Like,
okay.
My hunch is we got as much info as we're going to get, especially with people in town being weird to us now.
If anything, you guys are the special info because of your affinity to Sire and Kalazart and the surrounding lands.
Yeah.
The wild card is the Mornland itself doesn't always keep things as one remembers them. Things are always in flux. If anything, your way back from the depot had this sort of weird time permutation where it seemed longer to come back out than it did going in. So who knows if that stuff is rampant throughout the whole Mornland.
What about birdseed? Should we leave a trail of birdseed as we go?
Who knows what we're going to lure to us?
Birds, presumably.
Although there's those cockatrices or whatever, so they might eat that. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Never mind.
Scrappy's just eating it as we lay it.
We recently discovered that healing potions are way out of our price range.
Yep. We have one.
Yeah, but Ian can heal now.
Yeah, but like what? Once a day?
Once or twice if I don't use my other attack spell.
Yeah, that's good enough. I mean, healing's also bizarre in the gray as well.
We have enough rations, right? I think we took care of that last time.
No, that's what we just spent like 5 minutes talking about.
Rations like healing rations?
We should get 2 weeks more each.
Yeah.
So that we each have 1 month's worth of rations, which should be overkill. But in case we need to share with Callie and her people, and in case things take way longer than we expect, at least we're prepared.
Good. Okay, that's what I was trying to say.
But yeah, Al, how much would that be?
So you guys are going to try to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to get 2 weeks more of rations each. And Erd, what do you think? Is 40 arrows enough, or should we get another 20 each?
That's fine.
That should be fine?
Yeah. I'm going to be utilizing a lot of melee combat. I'll only use my arrows if I need to distance-wise, but I can toss you spares if needed, so.
Perfect.
Eventually, you guys try to make your way to Uther's Bakery to pick up some more supplies. Wouldn't you know it, you bump into Gracis of the Gentry.
Ugh, pardon you. So sorry.
And he looks over his shoulder. Nothing left for you guys in there.
Were you hungry today?
Just prepping for our journey, and he has a small sack of provisions filled to the brim.
Let me guess. Where are you going? Kalazart?
Took the words right out of my mouth, and he starts walking.
Talk again, I'll take the tongue right out of your mouth.
And Uther in the inside, just like cleaning up, trying to avoid eye contact from you guys outside the door.
Uther, you got anything left for us, your finest patron?
Startled, he looks up, scratches his big red beard. Didn't see you there. We're sold out, fresh out for the day. Sorry. Thought you guys got your fill a day or so ago. Just goes into the back room.
I'm beginning to like this place a little less.
You might want to try Eric's. He's got the provisions store.
And before we head out and leave, you know, Urge just says, watch out for those gentry guys. You may want to charge them a little more or not sell them anything at all. It's better off keeping your loyalty towards us moving forwards.
No response from the back.
I don't know if vague threats about loyalty are going to get us what we need, Urge.
No.
But I appreciate you speaking up like a big boy.
I'm not liking this shift in attitude from everyone.
We'll show him. Come back with Grace's head and be just fine.
As you head over to Thorn's Provisions, the owner of which is Eric's, this former adventurer. As you open the door to let yourself into his little shop, the back of a little halfling carrying a crate comes out. It is Vizani of the Gentry, and whoa! She stumbles a little bit as the door is opened for her, and she's got a crate full of jars and alchemy supplies and cloths and scrolls and... Excuse me there. She nods to you guys as...
Sorry, are you moving into the Mornland? What's going on? Why do you need so many laboratory supplies?
Oh, it's all business. Just I'll be on my way. She's like shaking her crate.
I might have a question for you, if you have a moment.
She turns her head, but she's still walking.
I don't really know what I want to do or say, but like... So I'm seeing it like this. Like, we don't want to actually attack or bully or steal from them because we're already becoming town pariahs. But they're going to where we're going. And even though they suck and we hate them...
We probably should just go.
Do we follow them? Do we stick near them? Do we offer to help them? Like, it's a little weird. It's like when you're like having a conversation with someone and then you both go your separate ways, except you're walking in the same direction.
It's going to be that for 80 miles.
Right. Like, right. We should just talk to them. Be like, listen, I think we're going the same way. I don't like you, but perhaps we can work together. It's dangerous out there. Sounds like you all never been.
My fear is that the first time we like hunker down for the night, they're going to take our stuff and leave in the middle of the night. We're going to wake up with nothing.
That's true, because the rich don't always get rich through noble means.
Well, we got Scrappy Boy with us, so Scrappy can keep defending us.
Ah, but we've got something they don't.
Exactly. So Erd, after seeing, you know, all of these gentry people around, is like, let's hurry up, let's get going. We got to beat them. Remember, guys, let's go.
Should we beat them or should we let them lead the way?
I say we beat them. We got to get there first. We know how important this is.
Who says we have to decide now?
True. Let's just get going. Let's make sure we have what we need. Let's go.
Maybe we find them asleep. And we help ourselves.
I love the way you think, Graf.
It's just a thought.
Well, if it helps us and hurts them, can't be that bad.
And as you're deliberating outside, there's a little click in the door in front of you of Thorn's Provisions. You see Eric's through the glass and seems he's... Whoa, he didn't see it through the glass. And he unlocks the door and kind of pulls it out a bit. Sorry, guys. Fresh out of goods until the next shipment comes in.
They bought 100% of your wares. Are you sure?
Unless you're looking for some old spider mist.
I'm trying to cut back.
Okay.
Can you direct us to someone who can just sell us some rations, some bread, some food, something?
Sometimes... People looking for a bite to eat around these parts tend to go to the Salvation Hotel.
We've had bad luck there.
Three young strapping gents as you guys can't find a place to eat around here? That's unfortunate.
This is unfortunately a case of shooting the messenger, if you will.
Well, I would have had something for you guys if I knew. Graf, you've been here a couple times and we've spun a story now and then, and it's nice to share your own experiences. You know, it's nice to kick back and have a nice long pipe with a couple fellow adventurers, but I'm all out of my pipe tobacco now.
All right. Well, thanks anyway, friend. We know how it is. What day do you get your shipments?
We'll have it next Sol, which is about 4 days from now.
We'll be back in a bit.
Well, gentlemen.
I guess we try the Salvation Hotel, and if not, time to hightail it out of here.
We can try it, but I'm not going in there. I think he'll remember me.
It's like you read my mind.
I think it's up to you, Garam boy, huh?
Why, you're not going to help me out here?
I'll come in with you, but flash, you know, show off that nice, the nice doggy charm of yours and, you know, make this happen. Let's go. Garam and I make our way into the Salvation Hotel as Graf sits outside, puts his foot up against the wall and looks kind of cool.
It's locked.
Or jumbles the door handle and it's locked and is like, guys, I think the universe is trying to tell us something here. It's time to go.
You gonna let the universe boss you around?
At this point, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's fine. We got 2 weeks of rations and we got the gentry only a few miles ahead, so.
Yeah, once we find their corpses, maybe we can eat those too, huh?
Settle.
Erd laughs to himself.
There's one last place I want to check before we go. Maybe she has something for us.
That's a good idea, Garam.
She has something for you.
So we make our way over to Becca the blacksmith.
As you head to the spot where Becca's forge resides, it's uncharacteristically quiet around these parts.
Do I not hear any, like, blacksmith sounds?
Smoke isn't billowing. There's nothing pounding on the anvil. There's no sounds being heard around these parts.
Something does not seem right.
Let's go check it out.
So I walk in.
Her door is locked as well, too. No answer, no response.
So, describe the front of her building.
So this is a building that has been comprised of barricades and ramshackle old farmhouses, pieces of wagons that are all chopped up and strewn together.
Are there any windows?
There aren't any windows at all. If there were, they have been covered up by bars or other components that are just piecemealed.
And it's like a solid wood door or something?
It's a giant solid metal wooden door, yeah. It looks like it's a barn door that just slides.
Is there any space under the door? Or like around the door? Like just a small little space?
Yeah, like enough to slip some fingers in and or peer through, yeah.
All right. I try to peer through it, see if I can see anything.
As you look in, it's completely dark. You can just see slits of filtering sunlight that streams through the various cracks and crevices.
Garam, what are you doing? Let's go, man. Why are you looking under the door? She's not home. I know you like her, but come on.
I take out some paper and I start to write a little note that just says, thanks for the arrows. We'll see you soon. And I tie it, I wrap it around one of the whistling arrows and I slide it under the door.
Very romantic. Wow. Pierce my heart.
You successfully leave a note. It's at this point the rabble gets this heavy chill of air that just blows across the Salvation Outpost.
I can't think of a more fitting exit.
It's Zarinthir. It's midwinter, and these cold chills are the usual sort of feel around these parts on the edge of Breland, former sire. Just, you can feel the weather just start bearing on you as this salvation is less and less welcoming.
Well, gents, is it time?
We're looking over to Garam. Ready to go, buddy?
I say let's head out.
And on Garam's cue, we start walking and making our way towards the fog wall in the gray. And it looks like the gray dogs will not be getting any of our rations.
So the gigantic, titanic fog bank looms on the edge of Salvation. And you spend several minutes exiting the outpost. And just as you're about to approach the fog bank, you hear off in the distance, leaving again, cowboy?
I whip my head around.
And there in the stone quarry that you have passed once or twice before is Becca smashing stone rocks with a giant sledgehammer.
Becca, I was looking for you. Why aren't you at your smith? Smithy? What? Why aren't you at your shop?
Looking for me, huh? I've been working here all morning trying to get resources, trying to get supplies for the next forge. Care to help out? Oh, she holds out a sledgehammer. It's all right if you don't want to, though.
I take a quick glance at Graf. I take another look at Erd.
Graf just winks.
This could lead to some more supplies.
Or just kind of shrugs. Garam, whatever you see fit.
I'm sure this won't take too long. And I start walking over.
And you grab the sledge?
Yeah. What do you need?
So you might find some buried treasure if you smash some of these rocks with some force. That's where I spend most of my time here. And that's soothing for the mind, something about working hard and putting your honest effort into a tough challenge ahead of you just really brings out good feelings.
Yeah, it's very rewarding.
I've done it for Breland for some time now. Maybe you three, well, maybe just you at the very least, Garam, will do it for Breland as well one day. She looks over her shoulders as if, like, concerned someone's peering in on the conversation and starts backing away, giving you space to work.
And I start busting some rocks.
Make a strength athletics check.
17.
The first rock you smash, just pieces fly out, and you find this ridiculously good-looking geode within the middle of it. It's more fanciful than anything.
This is fun. Becca, can you use this? And I hold it up and I show her.
She keeps backing up step by step, getting a little bit of more distance. Let me tell you, the Rabbles has a place here in Salvation. If you didn't hear it from me, you might have heard it from some other people. And she starts taking a brisk pace back into Salvation.
Wait, where are you going?
Some of the best geodes are over there. And she's pointing to like another spot where Erd's standing.
I thought you wanted our help.
She's probably 100 yards away now.
I just look at Graf and Erd, just totally at a loss for words.
Swing and a miss, huh, Garam?
Even you couldn't strike out that bad, Garam.
What the hell was that?
I have no idea, but hopefully that arrow finds her a little bit better.
Should you go after her? Or I mean, like, seemed like she was receptive to talking to you at first. She even offered you a hammer to help, but then was like, gotta go, and like backed away from you, like very suddenly. Should we do a perception check to see if someone like turned a corner and scared her off, or?
Yes.
I mean, let's roll and see what happens just in case.
19.
13.
A 7. So I don't notice anything because at this point I'm just so broken up over this.
Aww.
Yeah, you're wrapped up in it.
Garam and Erd, though, you do notice that the positioning of where you're standing, you could easily be seen from Salvation, from the salvage market, from Zodor's shack.
We are in plain sight.
You are in plain sight from everyone in Salvation. So if someone were perceiving this spot, they could easily tell the number of people, their loose interactions.
Did Graf notice anything with his 19?
You notice that no one is looking.
That was weird, though. That was a quick change.
You both noticed the spot that she pointed out near Erd.
Well, Garam, it looks like you might have struck out with her, but maybe if you strike here, you'll find another geode, or...
I mean, what do we even do with this hunk of rock?
Keep it.
Or for some sort of... trap she might have set here? This seems a little bit odd. Can I do some sort of insight check here? Because it seems kind of like, hey, here's, you found something cool, and then point to me like and run away. It seems like some sort of setup or something.
A spot around you.
Okay.
She's like, the best geodes are there and just happen to be a spot next to Erd.
Can we take 5 minutes and I smash a bunch more rocks?
As you start smashing these rocks that Becca pointed out to you guys, you uncover a simple wooden chest that has been buried underneath some of the rocks.
Oh, golly, what the heck is this thing? As Erd helps Garam uncover the chest, this seems a little convenient. This isn't a geode.
I wonder what's inside here.
She must have intended for you to find this.
We open it up.
So you open the small, simple wooden chest, and there's a simple note on the top of the contents after you open the lid. The note says, for the Rabble. As you look into this chest, there's 2 potions of healing, 6 loaves of bread, and some arrows.
Mother Johanna. Oh, we got it. Yes.
Seems like there's still people rooting for you guys in Salvation somehow.
All of a sudden, Erd is just thinking of our Empire Strikes Back kind of moment of striking out the past few couple missions and Evanescer's murder and how it seemed like our reputation was so low, and to have somebody gunning for us feels reassuring that we're actually on some sort of good path.
It looks like healing potions from Thorn's Provisions, fresh bread from Uther's Bakery, and definitely some arrows from Becca's blacksmith.
How many arrows?
Yeah, there's 5 arrows. These are masterwork, so you'll just have +1 to hit with them.
That's cool.
And we get the sense that Becca put this together for us, right?
Correct. With some people in Salvation.
Okay.
I'm so glad I stopped to talk to her. All that extra food got us an extra week each provisions. So
that's awesome. So lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool because like we were really down and out before and it seemed like everyone was turning on us and we didn't know our reputation. So to at least have Bellalure going for us and Garunda going for us, and now it seems Becca, we have at least a few good connections.
Yeah, I wonder if Becca was able to convince the others to be on our side in secret. And that's why everyone's acting extra strange. Ooh. That publicly they can't affiliate with us.
So is Arulian too powerful and she controls the gentry and they're all scared of wronging Arulian, so they went behind her back, created this care package with Becca's help and left it for us? Is that our theory?
That's my theory.
Yeah, it's interesting. Or it could be the other way too, yeah. You know? It's hard to tell.
Or they're just trying to fuck us and it's all poisoned.
We still have 15 gold between the three of us. We have 3 weeks rations each and we have 3 healing potions.
So like I was thinking we were striking out and now all of a sudden it's like, we're not. Yeah, we got more gold. We didn't even spend anything.
All right. So do we want to explore anything around the town or can we just accept that we'll find out later and we're going in?
No, we were about to go to the Gray. So I say we forge forward.
It's now or never.
I guess.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
You slowly start pushing your way through the membrane of the Mornland.
And as we pass through, Erd takes his fingers up to his ears and starts to block them out and again talk to himself. But this time he knows, he always kind of knew it wasn't doing anything, and he feels a little more unsettled this time going through the fog wall and having these voices penetrate his head. And he's just kind of thinking back to Callie. This time it means something going through the Gray. Before it was, you know, we're just doing a job, we're just trying to survive. But now that it's something on the line and somebody we know, everything is just coming together. The different threads we were finding before with all these different characters, he just feels that there's something at stake this time. And as he unplugs his fingers from his ears, he reaches into his pocket and unwraps something in like a yellow looking scarf. And it's the crystal that he received from Callie. And he's just holding it and just looking down, and he seems calm.
These voices are some of the nastiest you've ever heard crossing in and out of the Mornland. Is it the severity of the situation, the length of time that you have ahead of you, your own fears or frustrations with the Mornland mounting day by day? For some reason, crossing through this membrane just feels like it takes an infinite amount of time. What would take 30 seconds feels like 5 minutes as you're crossing through this thick, impenetrable mass of mist. You lose sight of one another, and you just are left with these thoughts and voices ringing through your own head.
What do we hear?
Graf, you hear a female's voice just ringing throughout your head. You thought you have forgotten her. It seems like something won't let you. Garm, you hear just the vast expanse of just wilderness. You hear the babbling brook and the whispering leaves, and they're all just shrouded by the sounds of gears, pulsing magic, twisting energies as they overtake the voices of the natural environment. Erd, you have the complete opposite, in which you just hear these numerous voices as if you're walking through the alleyways and towers of Sharn like you had been for years. And all of these voices just seem to be calling out to you or trying to demand something of you. One voice sticks out in particular.
What's the big idea?
The voice you've been running from for this whole time.
Hey, hey.
You try to push it out of your mind. Hopefully you won't have to interact with them.
And you see Erd perking up and talking to himself. No. Almost like he's acting out something in his mind as he's passing through the gray.
Do we hear that?
You guys do not see or hear this with each other.
And he's clutching inside his pocket the crystal.
We started out walking through with purpose, and we were walking pretty briskly. It felt good. The air was crisp. But now, separated from them and going through this alone, I just start to walk a lot slower as I process everything that's happening.
Graf's no stranger to voices in his head. He just single-mindedly walks forward.
You make your way into the Mornland.
It's so much easier when we're underground.
So there's far more activity than you've seen in this Mornland than you ever have before. Just looming explosions, crackles of energy, and distant fog clouds pass through the wilderness and the landscape. If it wasn't for the lightning rail track in front of you, you'd have no path whatsoever. And there's just a bleak twilight that hangs in the air, as if between sunrise and sunset, just in that twilight, it's perpetual as you guys walk throughout the Mornland.
How is this worse than it was before? How did it change?
The gray is just chaos, so of course it's going to be different every time we come here.
I guess we have a couple more coin in our pocket than we did when we left here.
Can't expect chaos to sit still.
All right, everyone. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to have a skill challenge. Find Kalizart.
Oh.
Okay.
The Mornland is very unpredictable, in which the party must get 7 successes before 3 failures. It's a long road to Kalizart.
Don't like those odds.
And the terrain in which you're about to find ahead of you is going to shift and change unpredictably. You feel somewhat safe getting as far as the depot, but the wild expanse beyond that is a sight to see. I will tell you the primary skills. They can be used multiple times, and scoring a failure with any primary skill will be a failure for the group. There's a number of secondary skills that will grant +2 bonuses should you pass it. They are of limited use as well. I'm telling you, none of the secondary skills. So you could use the given primary skills in order to score a pass or failure. You can try to figure out the secondary skills in order to give someone a +2 bonus. And if you fail the secondary skill, it doesn't count as a failure. Some of the primary skills are strength, athletics, intelligence, investigation, and wisdom, survival. Hopefully you'll get 7 successes before 3 failures.
Let's roll initiative.
Oh, 20. Damn. Like it matters.
Graf got a 17.
Oh, yes. I can't believe I got last with a 14. That's awesome. I did not want to be first.
Too bad we're not actually competing against anyone right now.
Yeah, this is the suffer-a-thon.
All right, so Erd set the scene. Go ahead and roll a d20 for us.
19.
High altitudes. The air thins. As you're walking through the Mornland on your first expanse, you feel that the air has become ridiculously thin, as if you're high in the mountains. You're having a tough time breathing for the duration of this part of your adventure.
And you see Erd's normally upright, you know, powering forward as he's walking, but he's kind of hunched more over now and breathing heavily and just doesn't have the same vigor that he has in his step normally, as you probably hear him start breathing heavily more than you ever have before in just a normal walking pace like this. So can I do strength athletics is one, so I can do that, right?
Yep.
So probably catch my breath then, right? Because we're in that thinning, like feeling altitude. Okay.
Oh no.
6.
So Erd is taken aback by just the weight of this altitude and coughing up blood a little bit, and Garam and Graf have to catch him and they continue on their way. It's a long stretch of thin air.
Look alive, buddy. We're just getting started.
Thanks.
You have scored one failure for the party.
The ones that he told us for primary were strength athletics, intelligence investigation, and wisdom survival.
Graf.
None of which are particularly good for me.
Great.
So in this instance, you might want to go to a secondary skill.
Or try to find a primary.
I'm going to attempt an acrobatics check. The land keeps shifting and Graf is trying to carefully put his feet solidly on this ground that refuses to be solid. He rolls a 21 for acrobatics.
Graf, by using your acrobatics and navigating the harsh terrain, you manage to assist Garamond Erd finding a positive path through this horrible Mornland, gaining Garam a +2 bonus.
Take us home, Wolfman.
Being in this shifting environment, everything keeps changing in front of us. I just try and channel what I can remember from my time navigating through the woods alone and sometimes having to deal with unpredictable terrain. And I draw on that wisdom and I roll a survival check to be able to assess what the least dangerous path ahead is. 25.
My man.
That +2 did it.
It was all me.
Garam finds a way through a nasty looking crag. It's just pieces of falling apart battlements, but you manage to find that is the best course of action to take for the rabble to navigate this part of the Mornland, and you score a success for the group. We're at one success and one failure.
So we only need 6 more successes, but 2 more failures and we're dead.
Or we lose the skill challenge, which who knows what that means.
Right. Probably not good things, though.
Hey, does Scrappy get a challenge?
Yeah, does Scrappy get to go?
Scrappy's doing his best, following behind.
It's okay,
you guys,
boy.
Clear the path for him.
It's okay. I toss him a couple more nuts and bolts.
He's just hunkered down by all the weight we have on him, all the rations. Woof.
All right, Graf, set the scene. Roll a d20.
A natural 20.
Dude.
The strong winds blow in the direction of the rabble. This is a gale force wind that you've felt push against your trajectories before, except this time you were trying to leave the Mornland, and now as you're trying to go into the Mornland, there's just this horrible, magical presence. This whole day is nothing but just winds pounding against your face and your clothes, messing up your lovely hair.
Absolutely not.
Erd, you're up.
Oh, actually, okay, so survival is something that's another advantage of mine, so I might as well just use that. It's using something different. 16.
Erd, you manage to put your shoulder down and lean into these gale force winds like a soldier busting through the ramparts on the front lines of war.
And forging through the winds, he's kind of reminded of different times he's traveled through this land, whether by lightning rail or on foot or through his time in Kalazart. And the winds, just something clicks in his mind, and as they're shifting around, he knows his way forward through and reading the signs on the Mornland and whatever might remain.
And you managed to score a success for the party.
All right.
Graf.
Graf is thinking about what he might be able to bring to the table. Unless I can reason with the Mornland, dexterity is kind of my only option here. So I'm going to attempt a stealth check to tread extra carefully on this shifting, nasty terrain. Call that a 10.
So Graf sneakily shifts through everything, and it doesn't seem like the party is better or lesser for it.
That rock never saw you, Graf.
Even though we're making our way through this slowly but surely, I can tell from looking around that no one is particularly happy to be here right now. And so, knowing what I need to do, I try and give a rousing speech, and I tell everyone that I know we can do this. This is nothing like some of the crazy dangers we faced before. And I roll a performance check. 15.
Garm, you notice that people's spirits are down and you're trying your best to boost them, to lift these people up, navigate through these harsh winds, through the thickness of the fog, and you manage to emit such a positive essence, a positive attitude, that Erd and Graf will get +2 bonuses on their rolls.
Nicely done.
You also notice, Garam, in this moment that perhaps in your own mind is a moment of hopelessness or desperation, you get the feeling, a tightness around your throat, around your neck where you hang the ring. something about it just feels off.
So can I tell if it's a good feeling or a bad feeling I'm getting from it?
It's a feeling like you've never felt before. And you know in this moment, especially in the Star Peak Mountains of Alundere, in which you've had instances of your life being put to the line day in and day out, week in, week out, you've managed to find some element of hope present itself. And that's when this ring has come to your aid. And at this moment, it seems to be offering you a solution again. Garam has the choice to elicit the power of his ring, and he'll gain one success for the challenge, but it'll only be for him.
What does that mean?
Oh.
Like, if I choose to take a success, would that not count as a party success?
Correct.
I was going to put on the ring out of, like, comfort and nicety that I see a smile cross their face and I'm able to like feel good about what I did. So I want to put on the ring, but I don't want to take the personal success.
You can do that.
Okay. At first I wonder if my words meant anything at all, but I take a look and I can see a small grin pass over Graf's face, and I look at Erd and he's smiling. And I feel good. I feel hopeful. I feel like things may not be so bad after all. And I take off the bronzewood ring and I put it on just to give an added sense of comfort and security.
You feel the harsh vibration of the ring on your finger as you put it on.
Feels pretty strange.
Garam, roll a d20. Set the scene for this next... You guys trek along your Mornland adventure and can't tell what time of day it is. It's just a constant twilight. Explosions happen. The temperature rises and plummets as the days and nights of what you can determine roll over you hour by hour, day by day.
12.
Heavy, slimy rain comes from the sky. Everything is lightly obscured. Something you haven't seen before is just this heavy downpour of rain. It's as if the skies themselves are leaking oil. It's like this rich, Breelish olive oil just coming from the skies.
Breeland's finest.
All right, you're up, Erd.
With a +2 on whatever you do.
All right, yeah, so I do intelligence investigation. 19.
Erd, you can chart a course. You can see the currents of the rain leaving a path that's going down a mountainside, you know, next to a wide ravine and following an old path that has been overgrown by the Mornland magic, and you can chart a course heading towards Kalazart, and you score the party a success. Graf.
With also a +2 bonus.
I'm going to attempt an insight to see if I can sort of cut through the noise of the chattering spirits and this voice in the front of my head and just see through the noise and guide us in the right direction. 17. 17 for insight.
You do exactly that. You cut through the noise and you start deciphering good thoughts from bad thoughts and a good path from a bad path. You manage to find the insight forward for Garam. Secondary skill, wisdom, insight, so you'll pass your +2 down to Garam.
Okay. Have at it.
I've spent a lot of time in nature, in the woods. I've experienced my fair share of rain, and I've never experienced anything like this. I want to learn more about what's happening, and I make a intelligence arcana check to see if I can figure out more about this rain, how it works, and how we can avoid it, or at least protect ourselves from it. 13?
You know, the twisted magic of the Mornland sometimes lies in hidden pockets of magic and an alternative reality, but you manage to decipher just a little bit of what you need to figure out how to move forward safely. You discovered intelligence arcana as a secondary skill, and you'll push your +2 forward. The days that you have spent traveling through the sludge of rain and the dryness of other areas and the high altitude, Garm, your ring seems to again signal you seems like the power has just grown just a little bit stronger than you've ever felt before. And you can gain yourself 2 successes.
But just for him.
But just for him. What does Garam do?
I take a look around me. I think about why I'm here in the first place. And I do not take the successes.
Love this guy.
You're looking across the escape of what used to be your former home country of Sire. And there you see Kalazart off in the distance.
Do you guys see what I see?
The city sprawls across the landscape, hugging valleys and mountains and rocks built into the side of this mountain. You can see the wonderful constructs of House Caneth poke through the city skyline. And if it wasn't for the magical shrouds of energy and fog that seem to wreath around the various spires and towers, you would think this city was humming with its own life and energy. But it's blasted out as if the walls of all the stone buildings were just blown from the inside out, and everything is just strewn about. It's quite a sight. This whole city looks like it's in rubble and disrepair, and now you guys find your way back here after all this time. You can't imagine this is how you would have seen your city of Kalazart after all this.
How far away does it seem to be?
Half day's walk. You've managed to find your way to Kalazart.
Cool.
We did it?
The group has 3 successes to 1 failure.
So we're only halfway through.
That's what you have now, but you've made it to Kalazart.
Cool.
Is that because I refused the check? Like, is that a secret thing? Like,
oh, interesting.
Like, now I feel incomplete because, like, we're supposed to have 7 successes and we only have 3, and you're like, well, we're done. So I reject 2. Maybe that counts as 4 successes plus the 3 we had gets us there.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I don't know.
You also noticed in your struggles and trials and tribulations, you haven't been completely impervious to all the Mornland's effects. You noticed that 1/4 of your food and water have spoiled.
We had 3 weeks' rations each. What should we be down to now?
1.5 weeks' rations each, right?
Yeah.
All right. So it took half our stuff to get here.
It only took 1/4, but another 1/4 spoiled.
The strange magical effects of the Mornland just seem to be permeating the containers in which your food and water lie in. Strange is that affects the longevity and preservation of these various foods.
If the gray dogs have been lost in here for weeks and we're just getting here now.
It seemed like it could have been a lot worse if it wasn't for your adept skillfulness getting here. Perhaps you'll find other resources to help the party out. Or maybe just yourselves, if survival depends upon it.
Hope the gray dogs aren't dead.
Now, I know that both of you have your doubts about Callie, but we're here to save them. We're here to find them, make sure they're okay, and to bring them back. So regardless of how you may feel personally, remember that we're here to help.
I would love to be shown that Callie only ever had our best interests at heart. Either way, I won't let you down, Garam.
Thank you.
This gray seems to twist everyone, and I hope it hasn't twisted you either, but we gotta believe you. Who knows what state we're gonna see Callie in? So we have to be careful.
I think the bigger fear is that Callie's not gonna be Callie when we finally find her.
Yeah.
As we continue forward here in the Mornland, I'm going to keep the ring on my finger, not around my neck.
Kalazart. You have this strange affinity for this city. You know the cracks and crevices of the streets and alleyways. You've been here for years at a time, and now you haven't been here for years at a time. And something about it has this twisted sort of nostalgic horror where you're familiar, but things are twisted beyond recognition, beyond imagination.
Guys, we made it.
It's weird.
Just like we remembered it, huh?
The rabble meets the rubble.
I'm surprised we can recognize so much of it.
I don't really remember it with rose-colored glasses, so it's not that different. But Graf is more affected than he lets on, and is more affected than he even sort of admits to himself. It's just surreal more than anything. I don't know that he's had the presence of mind to be sad about it yet, but it's extremely surreal for him.
If it wasn't for Bellalure and her mentioning her plans about a specific area within Kalazart, you could easily spend months wandering the streets, the alleyways, in the buildings, in the chapels, in the ruins of this great fine city. You know the way to the Fireweave Bazaar, but what will you find along the way? Erd, go ahead and roll a d6.
Six.
So as you're walking through Kalazart, Erd, just seeing these sights brings up memories that you thought you'd forgotten. You come across one clearing and you find a statue of a really, really large sword adorned with a symbol of Dol Dorne. It constantly smokes from the hilt. This sword's probably as big as two Erds stacked head to head. And it's just in this city clearing. And with it is, you know, a sword jabbed into the rock of the path, and it's smoking from the hilt.
You see Erd stop kind of in an odd way, all of a sudden stops, and just his eyes scan up the sword and just seeing the smoke come out of it. Seems to be taken back to another time.
The sovereign of strength and steel, Dol Dorne, is the only chaotic deity in the Sovereign Host and embodies the conflict of good over evil. Graf, go ahead and roll a d6.
Five.
Graf, as you're walking through Kalazar, finding your way to the Fireweave Bazaar, you come across Beggar's Bridge. So this bridge, which is coming from the poorer district within Kalazar, is a bridge that you've been familiar with for quite some time. Probably crossed this bridge more times than you care to remember, going from your little junk pile into the higher reaches of Kalazart and back and forth. The strangest part of it all, though, now what is usually lined with beggars seem to be lined with these giant writhing masses of jelly or flesh or just bags of just weird mutating jiggly flesh bags. They don't seem hostile. They just seem moving.
Couldn't get their fill in the prior life, can't get their fill now.
At least they're not asking for money.
It's not a great homecoming, but it's not that far out of what we were expecting.
It's like bizarre flashes of like walking down that street you remember and having that good feeling, but then seeing that undulating blob on the beggar's bridge, just something so out of the ordinary, and the going back between the two is just really jarring. And it's like,
it's worse than a nightmare.
It's almost like welcome back home and then welcome to hell, and you just want to get out but then stay there at the same time. It's an interesting thing to go between.
The bridge undulating masses actually made Graf chuckle, because he's like, some things never change, because that's how he saw the beggars, these beings that were unable to pull themselves up and make a change in their own life, held down by the poverty and the just terrible circumstances of growing up on the wrong side of Kalazart. They continued to be that even after the morning. And it was almost like poetically balanced in a weird way in Graf's head.
All right, Garam, roll a d6.
Got my special copper die. A one.
Yes, yes, you know this block, you know this turn, you know this route to the Fireweave Bazaar. It's right by the Eternal River. This constantly flowing water flows by the Fireweave Bazaar. No one knows the source.
Was it there and flowing? Like, is it a thing from before the morning?
Is this how you remember it?
Yes.
Lo and behold, this endless river seems to flow continuously despite the day of mourning. Perhaps that's one positive sign that the Mornland isn't one giant pit of destruction and waste.
Guys, look, it's the river. It's still here. That'll lead us right to the Fireweave Bazaar.
It will.
It's like old times, I guess. Following the river to the Fireweave Bazaar.
That was a long trek to the Fireweave Bazaar. The bright, colorful frills of tarps blow in the Mornland wind as they hang from the awnings of the Fireweave Bazaar.
Is that one of the first instances we've seen, really, of like bright, normal colors in this gray, dark place?
Yeah, it is a little shocking to see these, what, if you could call it bright, they're definitely muddled and muted.
Like, there's probably some yellows and reds that we haven't seen before in the Mornland.
Exactly. And here in the Fireweave Bazaars, even more ironic. There in front of you lies the Fireweave Bazaar, the place that Bella Lore has instructed you to find the missing gray dogs. This whole establishment was one of the finest indoor malls where people can get top tier clothes and linens that any of the cities of Sire could boast about.
We did it.
And as you approach this giant indoor mall, you hear the sound of a gasping voice calling from the darkness within.
This is season 2 of Eberron Chronicles, Oracle of War, DM'd by Alex LeFerrier, played by Andrew Gallagher, Ian Selig, and John Selig, and is an Orange Eyes creative work. This is one chapter of Episode 2, The Voice in the Machine, by Will Doyle. Written as a D&D Adventurers League campaign. Influence this game and story at EberronChronicles.com. Tune in next week when our adventurers encounter.
We're doing this for you. You could at least help us out a little bit.
So Graf and I make our ways into the Dragon's Horde.
I actually spent quite a bit of time here, but this whole place, it's familiar, but it's wrong.
I don't know what any of these are, but some of them might be of use later on.
And the image just fades away, leaving behind this empty shell.
You can tell that there's kind of a sadness here.
Something's in the background, but we don't know what yet.
Where are you going? You won't need it.
Please rate and subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us out. Email the show directly at speakingstone@eberronchronicles.com. You are our dragon shards, and keep this show powered.